In our last study, we saw how the Israelites failed on so many occasions and thus have never had possession of all the land which God promised them. We also spoke about the choosing of a king, which they wanted, like all the nations, and some of the results. Far from possessing all their promised land, they did in fact lose possession and full control of even that part which they had gained. As for the temple, that was allowed to deteriorate and then was restored and was destroyed and rebuilt again. In passing, we should note the fact that after Solomon died, Rehoboam and his son reigned in his stead, and during his reign, some of the people revolted and made Jeroboam their king. Thus the tribes were split, some under Rehoboam and some under Jeroboam. Neither of these men were good kings. In fact, towards the end of Jeroboam's life, the Lord said, 1 Kings 14, if you will turn to that with me, 1 Kings chapter 14, the first book of Kings, chapter 14, and verse 15. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin, and who made Israel to sin. Besides telling us how sinful Jeroboam had been, these verses also give us a prophecy concerning Israel, that they would be uprooted out of that good land and scattered. They were warned of this back in Joshua 23, but now the prophecy is made that it is actually coming. Isaiah also prophesied the removal of Judah from their land, and this is recorded in the prophecy of Isaiah, and also in the second book of Kings. Let us turn to 2 Kings, chapter 20. The second book of Kings, chapter 20. Two Kings, chapter 20, verse 16. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day is come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then verse 21 records that Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. And it was during the reign of Manasseh that the prophecy came to pass. Manasseh was a bad king, who did much evil, and was very idolatrous, and caused the people to be the same. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 tells us, if you will turn to it, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, second book of Chronicles chapter 33, and verse 9. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. Then we're told he humbled himself and prayed, and the Lord heard and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Just now we read Isaiah's prophecy with its reference to being carried away into Babylon. The Companion Bible has a marginal note there that this was a remarkable prophecy, as Babylon was of little account as yet. It's important to remember, though, that the Lord knows how places and people are going to develop. We only know such things if He tells us. Now, this place Babylon comes into the book of the Revelation a number of times, again with very evil associations, and we shall have to talk about it again later in this series. Shall we look now, though, at some further captivities in Babylon, which took place some years later? Will you turn with me to 2 Chronicles 36? Second Book of Chronicles, Chapter 36. Verse 5 tells us about Jehoiakim, who did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And then against him, verse 6, came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon, and put them in his temple at Babylon. Verse 9 then tells of another king, Jehoiakim, who also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar took him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem. Zedekiah, verse 12, did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. And verse 14, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Then look down at verse 16. They mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword, in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes. All these he brought to Babylon, and they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. 2 Kings adds, so Judah was carried away out of their land. We see, therefore, that they couldn't stay even in that part of the promised land which they had come to possess. It's a sad story of disobedience and its results. Next comes a little change, a little improvement in conditions. There's one little Old Testament book, which is a very important book here, but we can only briefly refer to it. We leave you to read it yourself some other time. It's the book of Esther. There you can read how that beautiful young Jewish lady became the wife and queen of King Ahasuerus. This came about because her uncle, Mordecai, was one of those who had been carried away from Jerusalem into captivity, as we were reading just now in the Book of Chronicles. In a wonderful way, Esther became queen, and she was able to influence the king a bit in favor of her own people. Naturally, when she had a son, Cyrus, he was brought up to know God and his word, and when he became king, he released the people from captivity and encouraged them to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of the Lord. Thousands of them went back, and he gave them back the things which Nebuchadnezzar had taken away from the house of the Lord, and put in the house of his gods. So the house of the Lord began to be rebuilt, and also the wall and city of Jerusalem. They weren't unhindered in this work, especially after the death of Cyrus. For although they were allowed to return to their own country, they were still under the rule of the king of Persia, Cyrus and his successors, and the governors those kings appointed over the people. If you care to turn to the Companion Bible, Appendix 53 sometime, you'll find there a list of the sieges of Jerusalem. The eighth siege, you will see, was by Nebuchadnezzar against Jehoiakim, which we looked at. The ninth was by Nebuchadnezzar again against Jehoiakim, and the tenth was Nebuchadnezzar against Zedekiah. And it says, in this case the temple was burnt with fire, and the city and temple lay desolate for 50 years. Then came the beginnings of restoration in the days of Cyrus, as we mentioned just now. Looking down this list, we find such familiar names as Pompey, number 18, when 12,000 Jews were slain. Then number 19, Herod, with a Roman army, besieged the city in 39 BC for 5 months. You know, of course, that the Romans had control too in the time of our Lord, Pilate being the Roman governor of Judea. Siege number 20 in the appendix speaks of Titus, and then the second temple was burnt, and for 50 years the city disappeared from history, as after the 10th siege. Then in the 21st, we find that for 200 years the city passed out of history, no Jews being permitted to approach it. So these people were outside their city and their country, scattered all over the world. Even at the moment, the situation isn't much better. Some have gone back to the country, and there does exist the State of Israel, but they have only a small part of their promised land, and Jerusalem is a divided city, half of it being in Jordanian hands. All the time there's talk on the part of the Arabs of trying to get Israel out altogether. Turning to the people themselves for a few moments, they were promised that if they kept the law of the Lord and did that which was right in his sight, he would bless them mightily and set them on high above all nations of the earth. He would give them riches. And if you will turn with me to Deuteronomy 28, we'll read a verse or two there. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. He would make them a leading nation. But we must read verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. All kinds of troubles and diseases would come upon them, and these are listed in the following verses. They were told that instead of being as the stars of heaven for multitude, they would be left few in number. And verse 64 says, And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. So you see, it was up to them whether they were blessed or whether they were not, whether they were scattered or whether they were not. And you know what has happened. They disobeyed and they lost their land and became scattered. Worse than that, they've been sorely persecuted. Of recent years, even in my lifetime, they've been cruelly treated and killed in thousands. Of course, their treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ can't be left out here. Think how they treated him. They knew he was to come to be their king, their promised Messiah, the most wonderful king they could have, and they didn't want him. They rejected God as their king back in the days of Samuel, and they rejected God as their king again in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, "Away with him." They crucified him. They said, "His blood be on us and on our children." They're paying the price of that rejection, of that cruel treatment they gave him. You know, they would have had him as their king if that had been all there was to it. If he'd been just a king, able to lead them out of the control of the Romans into great and happy freedom and prosperity, they would have had him willingly. But he came to do more than just that. He came to make them right in God's sight, to provide forgiveness, and to put them back on the right path, so that they could be blessed and used of God as he intended. He came to renew the link between themselves and God, but they didn't want that. The Lord Jesus Christ was more than just a human king. He was God. Since they were unwilling to face up to their need of the Saviour and his forgiveness, they couldn't face him any longer. They had to get rid of him. There's the need for a similar decision in our lives too. Have you accepted him as your Saviour? Or have you rejected him as they did? They were given another chance, even after they had crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, addressing them, said, "Ye men of Israel, repent." Well, some did, and some didn't. Quite a number of them believed, in fact. But as a nation, they didn't believe. Their leaders wouldn't believe. They imprisoned and killed those whom God sent to preach to them. And then finally, in the last chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul called together the chief of the Jews for another talk. He talked to them from morning till evening, but they couldn't agree among themselves, and so departed, after Paul had quoted to them the prophecy of Isaiah, that although they would hear the message, they would not understand, and although they would see, they would not recognize or acknowledge it, because they didn't want to. They had hardened their hearts against it. They had closed their eyes to the truth, and now they were to lose their favored position, and the Gentiles would have their opportunity to hear the word of the Lord. It had been God's plan that the Jews should be the missionaries to the Gentiles. But since the Jews themselves wouldn't believe, the Lord had to use other means. He has given us the opportunity to believe on him in spite of the Jews' disbelief. But that's something we can't go into detail here. The main thing for us to do is think and pray about our own personal relationship with God. Have you accepted or rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you seeking to please him, or are you failing him? We all go wrong sometimes. All our lives are a series of ups and downs, rather like the Israelites. He knows it's impossible for us to be right all the time. And thank God, he takes that into account. But surely we all want to please him as much as possible. And the first step to take is to acknowledge your need of a Saviour and ask him to be your Saviour. I hope this hasn't been too tedious a talk for you, but I feel that we should have some knowledge of Old Testament history in order to make a proper comparison with the future. So next time, I hope we shall move on from history to prophecy. But until then, bye-bye and God bless you.